There will be spoilers ahead. Lots of spoilers, so be careful, won't you?
Hi, folks. We're starting a new series called I Want to Watch Your Film, which involves some somewhat offbeat vampire movies. Apropos of that, Mike, I need to tell you something. This is hard.
Hey, just say it, Max. Whatever it is, I'm here for you.
Whew. Okay. I've become a vampire.
What?
Yep. I'm afraid I'm now one of the unliving damned, doomed to walk the earth feeding on the innocent and stuff like that.
Okay. So, how did this happen?
Well, I got this email, and it had a really cool link in it, and it sounded like a great way to make some extra cash. And
I just, didn't. Please tell me you didn't.
Yeah, I know I shouldn't have, but, well, this guy wrote back to me and said that by clicking on the link, that meant I was his vampire thrall. And as such, I must now walk the night offering people wonderful, high-quality skincare products and the chance to sell them themselves.
All right. Let's just stay calm. I'll see about wait a minute. Hang on. Skin care products?
Yep, that's right. As one of the blood-hungry night children, I'm all about getting people to buy overpriced exfoliants, moisturizers, lotions, and bath salts. Oh, cursed am I.
Okay, Max, listen to me very carefully. That's not vampirism. That's a pyramid scheme. It's just a scam. You're not enthralled to any demonic forces. You can just not sell the skincare products.
Really?
Yeah.
You're sure?
Very.
Oh, man, I'm free! I can once again walk in the light of the sun!
Well, you don't do that much anyway. You tend to freckle, but I'm glad we nipped this in the bud.
Yeah, whoo, boy. Me too. Just out of curiosity, Mike, what is your usual skincare regimen? Because, you know, with the cold, dry weather coming, you really ought to consider using...
No!
Okay, I guess there are some lingering effects. But what also lingers is our new series and our first movie, Only Lovers Left Alive. A sexy vampire movie from Jim... Jarmusch?
Sure.
The Indie Darling? Did I read that right?
You did.
Well, let's find out. I'm your host, Max, probably not a vampire, Levine, and over there, banging his head against the wall, is your host, Mike. I could be a werewolf, you don't know. Loose. Howl for the people, Mike.
How you ever forgive me?
Nicely done. But before we get on to that, we have to howl about your spooky poll question. It's almost Halloween, can you tell? By the time you hear this, it'll be over, but we haven't gone trick-or-treating yet.
Poll question!
And last week we asked you, what's your favorite horror movie and why? And if not, what movie put you off horror movies? Kelly J. Cooper said, I think it's got to be Tremors! I have to say it like that because she wrote it in all caps.
Oh.
The combination of Tremors! The combination of humor, jump scares, legitimately scary bits, and memorable characters makes it one of my all-time favorite movies, not just favorite horror movies. See our entire episode on Tremors. Mm. Good one, Kelly. Brian Mundo says, It. It's so creepy. You can't explain why, but I love it. I think the idea of using one's own fears against them is just creepy. Okay, Brian, but what is it? I mean,
It, Pennywise, the Clown, Stephen King.
Oh!
You know, a movie that literally everybody else knows what it is.
Uh-huh, okay.
If you would like to replace Max, please write us at us at maxmikemovies.com.
Yeah, good luck with replacing me with an AI.
Oh.
Hello, I am Maxotron 65,000.
Heck, I'd go for an
Tyler Stewart says, The Haunting from 1963. Oh, creepy. So good. I also really liked The Others with Nicole Kidman. Guess I'm a sucker for ghost stories. That is another one less jump scary, but very creepy. Nick Hoffman says, my favorite has to be Carpenter's The Thing. Oh, that's a great song. Oh, poor Karen.
Huh?
But the one, he's talking about the Carpenters, right? You know?
What song did the Carpenters ever do called The Thing?
Well, I haven't heard all their albums. They might have.
John Carpenter, he's a director, well known for horror films, and the film was a remake of the 50s, The Thing. Us at Max Mike
that's
Movies,
pretty
thank you for tuning in this week, and hopefully...
Wow, that's a
go back to selling skincare products.
Well, I just have this wonderful face mask.
Why don't you take it out and rub it in right now?
Well, okay, hold still. The one horror movie that Nick can't bring himself to watch again is Jacob's Ladder. Freaked me out. That is I would never consider that a horror movie, but it is very freaky.
Never saw it.
Charles Forsyth says, I thought about this and I decided to omit monster movies, even those overlap with humor. Huh. I also excluded the thriller genre that is more tense than scary.
Okay.
That's fair. The final criteria I have is that a good horror movie has to be scary, even if you've seen it before and know how it turns out. That's a good point. I have to go with Invasion of the Body Snatchers, 1978.
Yeah.
The 1956 one is also good, but the 1978 one is better. See our episodes on both. The Thing was my first thought as well, but that's also a monster movie. Where's the dividing line between horror and monster movies? Is there one? When Mike and Max did your show on The Thing, I think you questioned whether newer audiences would like it. There was a 2001 remake that flopped hard. Oh, yeah, I think that was like a prequel.
That's the one where we find out what happened to the Norwegian crew before.
Yeah,
partially, it's like, well, we know how this ends. Not well.
It does not end well for the Norwegians.
No.
Interestingly, they shot all the practical effects, then dubbed them over with CGI, even though the updated practical effects were great. That might have hurt the remake. Not sure, as I haven't seen it. Okay. Brian Paul McStravick says, The Frighteners. Oh, wow, that's an obscure one. Scary at times, funny as well, with Michael J. Fox.
Hello.
What more could you ask for? Many things, but okay, then now going back a long time, The Fly scared the hell out of me as a kid. Help me, help me. I'm assuming if he was as a kid, he must mean the original.
Yeah, it's my uncle, so I'm sure it does.
Horrors of the Wax Museum, both equally unnerving. Funny story, went to see Texas Chainsaw Massacre in a movie theater, and a little past halfway, everybody except me and two friends left. Of course, The Exorcist is very unnerving. Met her at a club I was dining at. You met The Exorcist?
I doubt it.
I hope she was
probably,
nice.
Probably met, what is her name? Linda?
Linda
no,
Blair?
Linda Blair.
I hope she apologized to you for Exorcist 2.
Oh, dear. Because
she should do that to everyone.
It wasn't Dr. her fault.
Dr. Professor Rebecca Pelkey said, so many great options, but I have to go with a Netflix movie called His House. Don't know that one. And any of Jordan Peele's first three films. Oh, okay. Keith Wright says, probably two of my favorites are Alien and Aliens.
No,
I've said this
one.
To you before. I've said this to you before, Mike. Also, the miniseries of The Strain is a great watch. Ooh, yeah, that's a creepy one.
No.
If you've read the books, there are still surprises in the series. Those are some icky vampires who thankfully don't glow in sunlight. Stupid glowy vampires. I assume he means sparkles. That's the technical term.
They are not vampires.
Roland, the headless Thompson Gunner Hardy, says, The Invasion of the Body Snatchers. Still relevant today as people's minds are being snatched. Yeah, you're not wrong. And of course, from that terrifying land far to the north, where wild poutine stalks the unwary traveler. On all fours, yes. Vince tells us, I am looking forward to this next series. I'm curious to see what vampire films you pick, as I might have a long list of odd vampire films in my head at all times. Why does this not surprise me?
And how many of them start with a Werner Herzog?
This is Max's chance to watch a Herzog film.
There you go.
His version of Nosferatu with Klaus Kinski is hypnotizing and not as depressing as one might think.
Oh.
I beg to differ, smart guy. I've seen Nosferatu, and it's exactly as creepy and depressing as you might think.
Oh, but those two items tend to go hand in hand with vampire films, so...
Yeah. I tend to watch old classic horror, but don't find many of them scary. and might classify them as monster movies over horror, to be honest. I'll be more likely to watch a period gothic piece over a current horror movie, and I don't count torture porn and slasher films in this category because I don't think they're scary, just a sign of a sick society. I wish I could argue with that, but for films that scared me, I would say Alien, The Ring, and Carpenter's The Thing, which is a famous song by Cole Porter, are right up there.
God.
For films that Alien, The Ring, and Carpenter's The Thing, for films that stayed with me long after the credits ended, I put The Exorcist, The Witch, Let the Right One In, Island of Lost Souls, and The Mist near the top of the list. Then there are films that are horror but more over the top and weird to me are movies like Reanimator, Videodrome, Evil Dead 2, and Dawn of the Dead.
Oh.
Yep. I am more interested in how far they will go rather than if they're going to scare me. Dr. Lauren tells us, as you probably remember, which we do, I don't watch horror movies. I haven't even listened to the complete Sweeney Todd original cast album. Well, that's horrible for other reasons.
Wow.
I have nothing interesting to add to the conversation about horror movies. I did enjoy your discussion on the podcast about jump scares. I realize that part of the problem is that I find the sensation of fight or flight distasteful. It's also an unproductive reflex for me. I freeze, making me the chef special for any random marauding bear. Run into a lot of those in the hospital, do you? I jump whenever something approaches me more quickly than expected. I was constantly startled during every 3D film I ever saw. I wasn't surprised by the frequency of such in a 3D documentary about dinosaurs, but it was true even with 3D butterflies. Hey, butterflies are pretty scary.
Huh?
What are they up to?
They're drinking nectar from flowers.
That's what they want you to think.
Okay. Ooh, we have a last-minute entry from Bill O'Lading. He answered, quote, Scream 1996 is my pick. It felt so fresh when released, revitalizing a tired genre, and still holds up, in my view. Its self-referential analysis of slasher flicks was funny, but it also managed truly thrilling scenes as teen after teen is offed. Wes Craven deserves kudos. You are left guessing truly until the end on whom the killer truly is. Props also for the brave stunt casting of Drew Barrymore as the purported lead. People forget she received top billing and she was featured in all the promotional material. It left the audience truly gasping when they discovered she is brutally murdered in the first 5 minutes of the film. It sets the stage for an anything-can-happen horror film, the likes of which we have not yet seen matched. End quote. Well, thank you, Bill, and now back to Max.
And the bat phone is blinking.
Da, 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 da.
We better not answer it. It might be the commissioner.
No, it's probably Doris.
From our phone? Oh, yes. Yes, we've actually got two this week.
Two?
Two.
How many dates do you need?
I bet, yes. Oh, I don't need none but Doris, baby. Talk to me, my velvet-voiced singing frog.
Hello, Max Mike Movies. Hi, Max. This is Doris Simplemeyer here to answer this week's poll question, which just happens to be, what's your favorite horror movie? Well, I'm not really into horror movies. I don't like being scared much, unless, of course, it means jumping into Max's arms. That's when I like it. But mostly, I don't like the horror movies. Let me see, horror movies. Oh, well, there's Manos Hands of Fate. Oh, wait, you said horror, not horrible. Let me try again. How about Hitchcock movies? Let's face it, they're scary and creepy, and like in the case of Psycho, that one could really happen, so that makes it even creepier. So I'm going to say Psycho and The Birds, and then I'm going to put in my the one I saw, the very first horror movie I saw was The Thing from Another Planet, I think it's called, the original Thing with James Arnett. And then to put one out there I saw, and it's really scary with nothing really happening, but check it out because it really is kind of scary, and that's The Babadook. So anyway, I had to see that for a class. That's why I saw it. And those are my answers. I hope you have a wonderful week, and I look forward to hearing next week's episode. Happy Halloween, everybody, especially Max. Bye.
Another
that's intriguing.
Steamy
yeah.
call.
Hitchcock, yeah. Yeah, Hitchcock, yeah. Psycho, the first time I saw it, scared the living hell out of me. Babadook, I don't want to see because it looks too scary. Yeah.
But
Manos? We have, Manos. Well, it's pretty terrifying Manos? To think that not only did someone make that movie, but a child was involved.
Manos?
At Manos, the hands of fate.
Manos.
Manos.
Okay.
And we got another call. Oh, and this appears to be from someone across the pond. Oh. Here's Rodney.
Rodney.
Hello, my name is Rodney, and I like horror films. I particularly like the one about Dave and the zombie slaves. Zombie movies. Zombies, metaphorically, are cool because they're like the proles. Proletariat. Yes, they're a metaphor for the way capitalism makes us all lifeless and goofy. So I like zombie movies. Yes, yes.
No, apparently, Rodney likes zombie movies.
Okay.
Good on you, Roddy.
So, NSZF, non-specific zombie films. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, yeah, and that works. That is what, I mean, zombie films freak the hell out of me.
It's true.
They're my kryptonite as far as movies go.
You mean you lose your superpowers?
Either that, or I lose them permanently, or I get turned into something random because the story needs it.
Okay.
But that's only red zombie movies.
That's Cruxtonite. But okay, whatever. Spot maker.
But what about you, Mike? What's your favorite horror movie, if any?
I'm not a big horror movie fan, and the ones I like tend to be either goofy bad, like poorly made, and I get to laugh at them, or they tend to have humor in them. I am a big fan of Evil Dead 2. I think Evil Dead 2 is just a lot of fun. I think Bruce Campbell groovy. Is absolutely delightful in that. Army of Darkness is also a lot of fun. But a couple of films we've watched fairly recently, I really, really like because they are creepy and or scary without the usual, you're going to look at a lot of gore, a lot of blood, a lot of horrible things. Mm-hmm. And they're both by Robert Eggers. And one of them's The Witch and the other one is Nosferatu. Honestly, The Witch is really just constantly creepy, and it has everything to do with the characters and almost nothing to do with the supposed demonic spirit, if there even is one. And that's up to interpretation. Mm-hmm. So,
check out our full episodes on both those movies.
Yeah, the mood he does is so good. And again, for my money, Nosferatu is the last Dracula adaptation we ever need.
And I'm sure no one will do another.
No, there's one coming out next year.
Of course there is.
But Max, this was my question. So it's now time to hear your answer. What is your, if you have one, because I know you don't like them much either.
I don't know about favorite, because I really don't like them that much, although I am oddly drawn to them. I don't know exactly why. The scariest for me, not surprising anyone, was Night of the Living Dead, the original one, you know, with Romero.
Yep,
you know.
George Romero.
Yeah, that terrified me. In terms of, like, things I couldn't stop watching, there was a series on Netflix called Fall of the House of Usher, which I thought was terrific.
Not the Roger Corman one.
No. No.
With Vincent Price in a blonde wig.
Yes. No, it is not. This is not work of the core man. No. This is much last couple of years. No. Captain Pike is in it. The new Captain Pike.
Anson Mount. Anson Mount.
Yeah. Yep. A bunch of other people. I mean, Mary McDonald's in it. And Mark Hamill is in it as an absolutely vile character, and he nails it. He's this horrible lawyer with this gravelly, almost Batman-esque voice.
Huh. Neat. Well, that's it for horror. And of course, we're entering horror month. But
We are entering scary
we're
month.
We're also entering a time where we need another poll question. So what is a new poll question?
Do. Well, this may have something vague to do with this whole series. In your opinion, who is the coolest vampire? Dracula? And if so, which one? Lestat? Celine from Underworld? Vampire Bill? And at the end of the show, we'll tell you how. We will reveal the dark secret of which crypt you must whisper this into.
Don't say Edward.
Yes, automatic disqualification for any vampire that sparkles.
Yeah, we're kind of prejudiced.
Yes, we don't find them remarkable.
Oh, remarkable. We may be mean, but it's true. So
it is.
What else is true is
facts. The movie is Only Lovers Left Alive, 2013. The budget, $7 million.
Wow.
Given the cast, that you can see where the money went. Box office, $8 million.
Oh.
Yeah, well, Jim doesn't make a whole ton of money with his movies.
I got to admit, I'd never heard of this.
Most people haven't.
Oh, that's kind of surprising. I did.
We'll get to that. The title, Only Lovers Left Alive, pays tribute to a science fiction novel by Dave Wallace of the same name from 1964. There is absolutely no similarity to the plot.
Ah.
Yeah. All of the cast members who play vampires were wearing wigs. The wigs were a mix of human, yak, and goat hair to make them look wilder.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think it works in some cases and not in others.
Mm-hmm. The two main vampires are Adam and Eve, and we'll get to those names.
Yeah.
And according to the script, Eve is 2,000 years old and was the druid matriarch of a Celtic tribe. Adam is 500 to 600 years old.
Oh.
Jim Jarmusch decided that Adam and Eve would be aware of each other's true age, so he argued they had no reason to state it in the movie, but simply informed the cast members of the age of the characters. In an extended version of the nude scene... Oh, why did they leave that out? Shown in the DVD special features, they do talk about her druidic connections.
I mean, I assume that was just true of Tilda Swinton. That she's 2,000 years old and she was a druid queen.
A druid. Yeah, that would actually explain a great deal. Christopher Kit Marlowe, played by the late Sir John Hurt, mentions writing Hamlet.
No.
And ghostwriting.
No.
For William Shakespeare to have
an
outlet for his work.
No.
Let's just deal with this now.
No.
The real Marlowe died under mysterious circumstances at the age of 29, a few weeks before the publication of Shakespeare's first known play. The Marlowean theory, that's a word, is considered fringe by a vast majority of scholars, suggested that he faked his death and adopted the nom de plume William Shakespeare.
Really?
Let's just say it, you know, according to Mark Twain, the plays were either written by Shakespeare or by a man calling himself Shakespeare.
It was not, oh gods. Anyway, move on. Yeah.
The white dwarf star that Eve mentions to Adam while driving across the city is a star called BPM 37093, also called Lucy, it is named after the Beatles song.
Of course it is.
Its nucleus is cooling down, which makes its core pulsate like a giant gong. Doesn't necessarily make sound in a vacuum, but it has the same vibrational frequency.
Oh, I think it's fair to say it doesn't make sound because there's a vacuum.
There was going to be some action in this movie first.
Really?
More like vampire fighting. They asked Jarmusch to add more. He removed all of it instead.
Yeah. We'll get back to that.
Eve books a flight for her and Adam under the names Daisy Buchanan and Stephen Dedalus. Daisy Buchanan is one of the main characters in Fitzgerald's The Great Gatsby and James Joyce's A Portrait of an Artist as a Young Man, respectively. Stephen Dedalus also shows up as a sidekick in Joyce's Ulysses. And in Joyce's final novel, Finnegan's Wake, there's a famous recurring poem with the line, River run past Eve and Adam. Adam also has a Danish passport with the name Lok, which is the Danish form of Loki, Odin's son. It's a nod to his Marvel Cinematic Universe role.
Has he done it yet?
Yes, this was 2013. The Avengers came out before
It's just been a long time. It's like, it still feels fairly recent, but I guess it isn't.
Wanda Jackson's Funnel of Love at the beginning of this movie was played considerably slower than normal. Besides giving the song an eerie sound, it perhaps suggests the characters are living slower lives. This is a cover by Jarmusch's band, Skull. S-Q-U with an umlaut R-L.
I think it's squirrel.
Okay. There's no I, but sure.
What else would it be? Squirrel.
Even though the two main characters and two supporting characters are clearly vampires, the word vampire is never used in the movie. Not
just
once.
As well.
Contrary to most viewers' assumptions, including mine, Jim Jarmusch did not name the two main characters directly after Adam and Eve from the Bible. Rather, he was referencing Mark Twain's satirical work, The Diaries of Adam and Eve, which has rarely been published in its complete form. In other words, it was obscure and pretentious, so he used it.
Really?
Jarmusch told a Hollywood Reporter interview that it wasn't until shooting the film that I realized everyone's first impression will be the biblical reference.
Whoops.
What? It's too late now. What can I do?
Wow.
Twain's...
That is amazingly short-sighted.
It is. Adam's home in the movie is in the historic Brush Park in Detroit, Michigan. The address of the home is 82 Alfred Street. The home was bought in 2012 after 30 years of abandonment and is currently, as of I think 3 years ago, being renovated. It's around 135 years old with 9 bedrooms and 6.5 bathrooms.
Such a deal.
Tilda Swinton sort of reprises her role as Eve in the series What We Do in the Shadows.
Oh.
She does. She appears as part of the Vampire Council. They never say who she is, but she's Eve.
Remarkable.
When Eve exits the cab at Adam's apartment, a striped skunk crosses her path, and she whispers, "Mephitus, Mephitus." Mephitus, Mephitus, as we all know, is Latin the verb. Binomial species name of the striped skunk. I did not know this. Yeah. One of the books that, this is a really obscure one, this is a little self-referential thing. One of the books that Eve packs for her trip to Detroit is a catalog of Jean-Michel Basquiat's work. Jeffrey Wright, who plays Dr. Watson in this movie, played the title character in Jarmusch's film Basquiat in 1996.
It's just Basquiat. You don't pronounce the W, the U.
Well, sure, but I'm using the Belgian pronunciation.
He's not Belgian.
Well, I could be.
But you're not.
But I could be, and you can't stop
me. I am. Get on with it.
Right. Well, there's other stuff, but I think that's plenty. So let's get on to El Plato. Two sexy, blood-drinking immortals. Nobody say the V word. The husband and wife team, Adam and Eve, no relation, I think, start out the story on opposite sides of the planet, Tangiers and Detroit. I'll admit it's kind of hard to keep them straight, as they're such similar cities.
Uh-huh.
Adam is a mysterious underground musician who releases brilliant pieces, but never under his name. Eve is a voracious reader and scholar, and spends much of her time with fellow Strigori, Christopher Marlowe. Yes, that Christopher Marlowe, the one who wrote Faust, and also all of Shakespeare's work. Oh God, not this again! Anyway, Adam is deeply depressed by what the living, or zombies, as he calls them, have done to the world and is considering ending his immortal life with a wooden bullet.
Sure,
why not? Sensing his need, Eve joins him in Detroit, now that's love, to convince him that unlife is still worth living. While there, they deal with Adam's manager, gopher, Renfield, named Ian, who spends most of his time getting hold of rare guitars for Adam's collection. Then Eve's sister Eva shows up, real imaginative naming their mom, and she is exactly the awful, narcissistic, destructive horror that is everyone's nightmare relative. She kills Ian just 'cause, and even worse, smashes a beautiful 1905 Gibson guitar. She truly is history's greatest monster. This is really the only major conflict in the story, but now Adam and Eve have to blow town, so they head back to Tangiers just in time to find Marlowe dying from a batch of contaminated blood. Contaminated with what? We don't know. And the film ends with the two lovers going out together for a bite. The end.
The film.
So, Mike, you had never seen or even heard of this movie, had you?
You had mentioned it to me in passing and said that it cost you flummocation of some sort. But
yeah, we'll get to that.
I had not seen it. I didn't really know much about what it was about until you suggested this series. And then it's like, oh, apparently it's a vampire film. It's a blood-sucking freak. I mean, I don't know why you can't say vampire. Like, I don't understand.
Oh. That's their word.
Who's they? The blood-sucking freaks?
The dark ones, the children of sadness.
I don't think you should call them dark ones. That doesn't sound particularly...
Descendants of Cain.
Vampire's fine. Know. We're using the word. I don't care.
Okay, fine. Vampire beavers it is.
So no, I hadn't heard of it. Now, you'd seen this where? Probably on... You rented it or something? Or?
No, I saw it when it came out. I saw it in an indie theater.
Oh, you're the guy.
it was me and I think two other people.
Wow.
Yeah.
Why did you go see it? Like... Did you see a preview? Or?
Because I'd seen one of the Jim Jarmusch movies, which was Ghost Dog.
At
that point. Yeah. And I thought, Jim Jarmusch is doing a vampire movie? Because that, or, you know, or not doing a vampire or whatever. It's like, I got to see this.
Yeah, I saw Ghost Dog, which was actually very impressive, but, you know, a hard watch. I haven't seen it since.
It's not easy. Yeah. I've only seen those and The Dead Don't Die, which is Jim Jarmusch's zombie film.
Ah. Mm-hmm. But we're not talking about that Jim Jarmusch film.
No, we're not.
About this Jim Jarmusch film.
Yeah.
You want to start with the cast?
Let's talk about the cast.
Now, here's the thing about the cast. In general,
yeah,
there's really about five people mentioning.
There are five people and a bunch of background people.
Real quick, just because I love their names, there's a band at one point, and it's called White Hills. The three people who make up that band are Dave W., okay, fine, Ego Sensation, and Nick Name. So I got to look them up because I love the idea of a band with somebody in it called Ego Sensation. Because
Nick Name, I see what he did there. I
actually did that with a D&D character, but all right. But we have a couple of heavy hitters in here and a couple of other people.
Yes, we do.
Well, to be fair, three heavy hitters, one semi-heavy hitter, Mm-hmm. And then
we got Tilda Swinton as Eve.
I mean, who doesn't like Tilda Swinton? I love Tilda Swinton.
Oh, she's amazing. She can do anything. She can be funny. She can be scary. She can be seductive. She can be amorphous. She can basically, she disappears. I mean, she is still one of the only good things in that movie, Constantine, as far as I'm concerned.
Oh, God, I forgot.
Her and Peter Stormare.
Such a bad adaptation. A bad adaptation.
That's the thing. I think it was Tyler who said it would have been okay if they hadn't called it Constantine.
Yeah. It was just,
and I think that's true. But
whoa.
She is terrific, and she is. I have no trouble believing that she's lived for 2,000 years and feeds on the blood of the humans.
Yeah, no, she was. I mean, it's Tilda Swinton. She's wonderful. Her part. However, she's paired with Tom Hiddleston, and who needs to see more? Oh dear gods, we see all of Tom Hiddleston.
Yeah, we do.
That's my line.
Damn it. Yeah. I know. This movie confused me and made me ask myself searching questions. Because I'm watching Tom Hiddleston. He spends a lot of time walking around just wearing a pair of tight leather pants and nothing else. And his hair's all long and shaggy and falling in his face. And he's incredibly ripped, except not obscenely so. And I'm just looking at him going, he's pretty. But what is it? No, stop it. No.
He's a slinky, pouty rock god. That's what he is.
Yeah.
And he does a great job at it. You totally get where he's coming from. You get that weight of immortality. He's a little bit moody, depressed male character is almost as stereotypical as the, toxic male masculinity character, unfortunately. But he does it very well. And it's Tom Hiddleston. Yeah. I mean... We'll kind of watch him in anything or in almost nothing.
When I first saw this, I didn't know who it was. I had seen the Avengers. That was the only thing I knew Tom Hiddleston from. And I'm going, wow, that guy's really gorgeous. I wonder when Tom Hiddleston's going to show up in this.
Wow. Okay. See, I had no problem recognizing him at all. But the next person I did not recognize, that's Anton Yelchin as Ian. Poor Anton.
Poor Anton, struck down way too young. We mostly know him as the new Ensign Chekhov on Kelvin timeline of Star Trek.
And I find out why it's called Kelvin, and it's like, oh, okay, I get it now, but it's whatever. It's the ones with Chris Pine in it. And he's actually a Russian
descent.
So that was a nice change. Oh, Chekhov's actually played by a Russian. That's nice.
Well, it's like Scotty was played by a Scotsman.
Sort of. I did not recognize him, and... I now feel bad, even worse, that he was like 28 or something when he got run over by his own car.
Yeah.
So, he's good. Just, there's not a huge amount of him, but he's good.
Then there's Mia Wasikowska, Someone else I didn't recognize, but I'd seen from Tim Burton Alice in Wonderland movie.
Oh.
Yes. And Crimson Peak and a bunch of other stuff. And usually she plays this sort of waifish... Victorian looking or pre-Raphaelite figure who looks like she's going to blow over in a strong wind.
So not much of a stretch here.
I don't know. She was sort of a bad girl, rock groupie sort. And also she smiles a lot, which is really weird because I don't remember her smiling in any of the other movies.
I mean, here's the thing. I don't like the character. The character is very...
No, the character is horrible. But
that younger sibling believable. You can't get rid of. Is kind of what she is, and
you can really see it from Adam's point of view. It's like she's destructive both to herself and to people around her. She has no redeeming qualities, it would seem, but She's his wife's sister, and he's got to at least tolerate her.
Well, and we don't even know what that means, right?
Yeah, because she's not real. She says, she's not your sister. She says, we are of the same blood. Maybe they were both turned by the same person.
Yeah, they do not. This is, I will give this film this. It does not dwell or even really dip its toe into the usual background vampiric scholarship, blah, 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 blah. It really kind of just skates over that. It's really more about how they've dealt with immortality and who's pouting and who's not and so on and so forth. Yep. And there's stuff that they left out that really made me wonder, like, what's the reason behind this? But we'll get to that. I think she does her job very well. Instantly hate her and want her to go away.
Yep. But also really believe her. She is a completely... I've met people like that. Yeah. It's awful.
You also could tell she's going to be terrific. Danger. At some...
Yes.
Like, she is dangerous to them. So...
Yeah. And we get to Jeffrey Wright in a small part, but he's a lot of fun as Dr. Watson.
I guess.
He's the one who... He's basically the one who supplies Adam with blood from the hospital so he doesn't have to go around killing people.
Well, that's the part that I was going to talk... We'll talk about that later. Yeah, his part's very small. I mean, he's fine in it. Yeah. You know, but... Skip.
Yeah.
John Hurt.
But then we got... Yeah.
It's John Hurt.
Another heavy hitter. Yeah.
It's
it's John Hurt. He doesn't know how to give a bad performance. I'm sorry.
No. But now that you've told me even more about Christopher Marlowe, I'm like, if he died when he was 29, why does he look like John Hurt?
Yeah,
like, well. Why is he a vampire and what's going on here?
He was a hard-living young man.
Even Keith Richards doesn't look that bad.
True.
But it's John Hurt. It's not a huge part, but it's John Hurt. He's not going to give a bad performance. So,
He's
and then there's other people, but they
and
really then, don't.
And the rest.
Yeah, like Ego Sensation.
Yes.
But so a pretty decent cast. It's really focused on Tilda Swinton and Tom Hiddleston, really. And because of that, I don't know if you felt this way, it had a very play-like quality to me. Yeah, because a lot of the scenes that are taking place outside, especially things like the driving and stuff, have no impact on the film at all. It shows them getting around, but it's like, I think it's mostly to show off, you know, how bad does Detroit look? And to be fair, this was 12 years ago, and Detroit doesn't look that bad for the most part anymore. And it's a lot of it's been rebuilt, and people are moving back into houses and stuff. But to be fair, there's a great chunk of time where they would do things like, hey, we need to make this look like, you know, an entire city's been destroyed in the Transformers. Can we just film downtown in Detroit? And actually, the
take him to Detroit. No, not Detroit.
One of the biggest landmarks was the train station, and they used that in Transformers to fill in for wherever it was supposed to really be, and it was in a horrible wreck. Well, they just renovated it, so, and also the Ren Center, which has been in many films, it's that big cylindrical glass skyscraper-looking thing that it was in RoboCop, but it's also been in L.A. films a lot, where it's supposed to be L.A., and it's not. Yeah, they're going to be tearing that down, so oops. Yeah.
Oopsie
so yeah, doodle. I think a lot of the scenes that take place outdoors, they don't add a lot to the film. So I think you could do this as a play.
I think you could, but I really liked the shots around Detroit. It made it look both bleak, but also mysterious and intriguing because we're seeing it at night with almost no people, and it looks like this strange, exotic place in some
ways. I did like the constant yipping of the coyotes, because that's true. They're having a good time.
And I think the parallels of when we're seeing the outside shots of Tangiers is very also evocative, but in the same way, because it's theirs. This is the city, not the people, and that's what matters to them. The people are just a food supply. They're zombies or what have you to Adam.
But the thing about Tangier to me is that we don't really see Tangier. What we see, which is very cool, is this maze-like back street, back alley. You can't really even get... I mean, you could probably get a moped through there, but it's really just been, you know, built on and built. The same little maze has been going on for hundreds, if not thousands of years. The thing that I thought was really interesting is that it's all lit by those high crime lights, which... if you look at them a little sideways, is almost the color of sunlight. So it's almost like she's living there with John Hurt. She can kind of experience a bright daylight kind of thing that won't hurt her. And I don't know if that was, you know, meant to be evocative or not, but I did think it was kind of cool. Mm. And I did like the fact that there's one point where she walks out and I, because of the way the light's bouncing, I'm like, is it daytime or not? I can't quite tell. So, but again, her moving about is atmosphere. It's not something that's in really necessary for the plot. And I think you could probably do a play version of this and it might actually be really cool. Mm. But, you know, not just something I thought. The opening credits, red gothic on a black background. Nothing says 80s horror film more than red gothic on a black background. Not least of which because red credits tend to bleed and that makes them hard to read.
Yeah, I'm guessing that was either being ironic or trying or giving a little nod to the old vampire movies from the Hammer days or some such.
Yeah, but why would you want to evoke that?
No, God knows.
I mean, it has nothing to do with this. I don't know.
I mean, this is a Jim Jarmusch movie, so there's a lot of stuff in there that you go, why is that in there? He thought it was cool.
Oh.
And it is a Jim Jarmusch movie because you can. The pacing is very languid.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. We'll talk about that, whether it was slow or just languid. And there's a really cool soundtrack full of music I'd never heard of.
I actually really liked what was supposed to be his music. I thought it was actually very evocative, both of his mood, but also it was very layered. And you would think that folks that have been around that long couldn't listen to anything as simple as rock and roll anymore because they've heard it.
Yeah.
Yeah. What music was there that like was, especially the stuff that was supposed to be his? I thought that was pretty cool, too.
There's a lot of talking in this. Most of it is conversation. Again, why it might work as a play.
Yeah.
That at least is significant stuff.
So when Adam goes to the hospital and he goes in there with his little mask and he's dressed up as a doctor, were you wondering if his little name tag said Dr. Acula?
I thought that would be good too. I mean, it says Faust.
Yeah.
Because Christopher Marlowe is like his hero.
Yeah.
Although I do like Dr. Watson, who the sidekick doctor.
Yeah.
Keeps calling him, you know, Dr. Caligari, Dr. Strangelove.
Well, I think he goes in with a different name tag every time. That's why.
No, no. It always says Faust.
Oh.
Dr. Watson just, you know, it's like, I know that's a fake name and I'm not pretending.
Hey, you're taking the money.
Yeah, he's taking a lot of money for it.
Yeah, big wads of bills, which we don't know where they come from, but whatever. As everyone knows, if you're immortal, you're rich.
Yep.
Because, yeah.
Well, compound interest. Go to a lot of banks, put $100 in each one and wait.
I guess, sure.
I mean, if you consider, they don't have to buy food. They don't really need a house. They can just, you know, sleep in the ground.
And free energy, man.
That was an interesting thing. Most of this is very grounded and very real. They don't do a lot of stuff with, like, vampire magic powers. Except little things like Eve can touch a guitar and know exactly how old it is.
Well, she can touch anything. It touches the guitar.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting. And Adam has built a Tesla generator.
Right.
And when I say Tesla, I do not mean any more recent use of the name, any particular auto company.
I think you meant abuse of the name.
I mean, Nikola Tesla, who one of his ideas, I don't think anyone ever built it, was a generator that could tap into the and utilize the electrical potential of the Earth for basically unlimited power. And he supposedly, this is the story anyway, presented the idea to John D. Rockefeller. And Rockefeller said, this is fantastic. How do we use it to make money? And Tesla was like, well, once you install it, you can't. I mean, the energy is free. And Rockefeller was like, free, what does that mean?
Yeah, I would like to adjust one of your statements here. You talked about unlimited power. I think what you meant to say was unlimited power.
Oh, excuse me. Yes, that is, of course, what I meant. I did not mean to leave out the Ian McDermott-y.
Well, why would you? Well, there was also the idea that he could transmit electricity like radio waves. There was a lot of stuff like that. What was it? Was it The Illusionist? Was that the one?
Yeah.
That dealt with David Bowie as Tesla.
Oh, no, that was the Prestige. Prestige. That was the one that came out the same year as The Illusionist.
Right. Yeah. Well, they talk about Tesla as played by David Bowie. Who else would you get? I don't know.
Hey, that works.
And there's, of course, there's been a lot of speculation about Tesla, et cetera. And Adam has this thing for scientists. He actually seems to really appreciate, I think, the way their minds work. Like, It's like when you become, why not go here? When you become an audiophile and you take things too far, which is the definition of being an audiophile. But you start caring about the chemical composition of the wires that connect your speakers to your receiver, or the shape of the stylus in the cartridge on your tone arm and stuff like that. It's because you are so deep into something that you need to find new ways to appreciate it. And of course, if you live for a really long time, you might do the same thing. It's not just about the surface, you know, and the easy stuff. It's about, no. Tesla or Einstein or this or that. And he starts talking about the various people who he may or may not have met. But he appreciates not only the depth of their knowledge, but the skill with which they use it and the deftness of it. And it's like appreciating wine or vinyl records.
But that's, in a way, some of the source of Adam's depression is he can't stand what the rest of the zombies have done with the work of these scientists.
Oh, just wait 12 years. You ain't seen nothing yet. Woo.
Yeah. Adam, you got... You sweet summer vampire.
Yeah. Well, and who wouldn't get depressed after, you said 500 or 600 years.
500 years,
so let's get to this part because it's annoying and it's dumb. Jim Jarmusch didn't think people would automatically assume that Adam and Eve meant Adam and Eve from the Bible. Really? How are we not supposed to think that? Until you did the trivia for this, did you assume that was meant to be a reference of some sort? Not necessarily actually
them. Of course.
But,
of course.
Okay. I did too, and I was like, oh, are they the progenitors of all vampires, right? I don't
know. Because
we don't talk about Dr. Acula.
Bruno. we don't use the D word in this movie, and we don't use most of, they don't mention any other vampires. They just sort of talk about others here and there.
I just found it very awkward. Like, oh, are they that old, or are they not that old? Okay, if they're that old, I get it. Of course, you know, that brings a lot into question about history and religion that the movie is like, oh, no, I'm not going to talk about that. Nope, not even going to mention it. So I kind of wonder, do you think the choice of the names Adam and Eve was in any way a good choice?
Honestly, I kept forgetting their names after a while.
I kept saying them.
Just them. Now, and the name didn't really, honestly, it didn't bother me. There's too many things where they do stuff. I've seen other movies or plays where the characters are Adam and Eve, and it's so overused, it's become a cliche.
I mean, another reason not to do it. I would rather he was Dr. Caligari, honestly. Although I am glad to find out that he wasn't all these famous people, because that's been done to death too. It's like,
yeah, that I was afraid of when we see the he has a wall with pictures of all these. He says he doesn't have heroes, but they're all these people he admires, and they're anyone from Charlie Chaplin and Buster Keaton to Mark Twain, Tesla, all these musicians. It's not him. It's those are just people he thought were cool.
Well, I also kind of wondered if we weren't supposed to suspect that Tilda Swinton's character, Eve, made Marlowe into a zombie because she really admired him and his work and wanted to keep him around.
Maybe, or maybe that's why Adam did it. They would have been close. A little,
I would think she did it.
I mean, 500, it'd be more likely that she did it.
Which is another thing. We don't talk about the vampire stuff really at all.
No, there's nothing.
And it's, part of it's weird. Part of it I don't mind, because we don't need to hear it again. We don't need to hear your world building, because I don't care. But the fact that the two main characters don't bite people is kind of a big thing. And we never really find out why. And there's things that are implied that they also don't explain, one of which kills Marlowe. And I kind of wish they had. So they're getting their blood through a dealer of some sort, whether they work in a hospital or what have you. And there's apparently blood that they refer to as the good stuff. Problem is, we don't know what the hell that means.
Yeah, if it's just that it's pure, it's uncontaminated.
By what?
Yeah, don't know. Disease.
It's important because later on, apparently,
that's what kills Marlowe.
Marlowe gets some of the bad stuff. Well, what is that? And why does disease have any effect on supposedly the undead?
We don't know. I think it's I kind of liked it. I think it's the idea that it's more of a metaphor that blood is becoming corrupt. It's everything in the environment is poisoning people. And as you know, up the food chain, if your food supply gets poisoned, the super predators get poisoned.
I guess. I mean, Ava kills Ian. Oops. And she sort of has a hangover, but it doesn't seem to really hurt her or anything. She's still sated.
Yeah, well, maybe she's stronger.
I think that when you go with something as tried and true as vampires and you decide you're going to mess with it, I think you at least need to know to let us know what you're doing. Otherwise, it just leaves big questions and we're like, well, why does this matter? Why don't they just eat people? And there's one point where they kind of suggest, oh, well, getting rid of a body in the 21st century isn't as easy as getting rid of... Oh, actually, it is. Because I just keep my acid pool here in this abandoned building without any trouble, and we can just dump things into it, and it's fine.
Mm. Yeah, that was odd.
So, I don't know. It was something that did bother
there me. They all wear gloves when they're out, and they have to ask permission to take them off inside a vampire's house.
Which I didn't get at all.
I thought that was interesting, but I don't understand why, unless it's something like when if they can all do things where when they touch something, they get information about it. I kind of like that you had to figure that out.
But you can't. That's the problem, is you can't. Like, there's literally nothing for us to go on. Like, why do they have to ask about their gloves?
Well, it just means you can speculate anything you want. You fill in the parts yourself. He's not handing it to you.
I don't want it handed to me, but I want something. And I feel like in this case, with vampires, it's like, well, I'm going to change them a little bit, but I'm not going to tell you how I'm changing them or why it matters. That, to me, is weak storytelling. There needs to be something. And it felt like there really wasn't. It's like, oh, that's a cool detail. What does it mean? If it doesn't mean anything, why is it there? Because it just makes me sit up and go, why is it there? As opposed to letting it flow as part of the story. And that... Speaking of flow, you mentioned the word languid.
Yes.
And the fact that when more action was called for, Jim Jarmusch said, I banish all action from my movie.
It's a note from the director. He says, slow down.
Yeah. So what do you think about the pace?
Honestly, I like it. I like the... Especially when you consider this is ostensibly a monster movie, and there's very little tension. Well, yes, it's literally monsters, vampires.
Yeah, but we don't see any of them committing any monstrous acts. Yes, Leon is drunk, but we don't see her doing it. So, like, none of the things that were...
No, we see his dead body with his throat bitten open lying on the couch.
Right, but the thing is that we don't see her do it. We know she does it. Mm-hmm. She's the only one who does it. And the other of the vampires, 3 out of 4 vampires agree that you just go and buy blood from somewhere else. And so we're nice vampires. So
yeah, we don't know if that's a moral choice. They don't like killing, or if it is just for safety.
And so it's like, I wish I knew more, because it really determines how I view the character. If they're doing it because we're dying out because blood is bad and we need, you know, a certain specific type because of X, that's one thing. If it's, no, we realize that taking life unnecessarily is blah, 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 that's a totally different outlook on a character. And I kind of would like to know. I get the feeling, because they call them zombies, that it's probably the former and not the latter. But I don't know. I think the movie felt too long. There was one point where we both had to avail ourselves, shall we say. It's a nice way of saying peeing. And I was like, wow, there's still a half an hour left of this film. I think there's language and I think there is get on with it. And I felt that it went on too long without there being any kind of... The major conflict is Adam going to kill himself or not?
Well, the also major conflict is Eva has, in effect, blown their cover and they have to leave.
I mean, they must have done this many, many times before.
Yeah, but he's upset. He has to leave all this stuff. I do like that, obviously, he's the one who sort of accumulates things. And when Eve travels, the only thing she takes is 2 suitcases full of books.
Yeah.
And she reads I get why she has so many, because we see the way she reads. She is a super speed reader.
Yeah, Evelyn Wood. Wood. Yeah, I felt it just was a little long. And okay.
I can say that.
I do like the depiction of the boredom of and depression of immortality. Because everyone thinks it's this great end goal, but it's like, now what are you going to do? And in some cases, they do fine. And obviously, in some cases, they don't.
And it seems that Eve has adapted better. I mean, she's like, you could be doing all this stuff. You could expand your mind. You could be learning. You could be discussing philosophy.
I don't want to.
This is all stuff. This is all stuff she does. You know, she's clearly a scholar or intellectual, and so she never runs out of stuff.
Well, thanks to your trivia, we now know she's about 4 times as old as he is.
Yeah, so, she just may be better at it because of experience.
Yeah, maybe she went through this when she was a mere 500, 600 years old. So I don't, but it's like what I get it. Like I totally got through their performance, especially Tom Hiddleston's. Why he's just like, oh man, I'm just tired of this whole thing. Why am I bothering? And it's like, you know, what are the, things are getting worse, not better. All the people and things I liked are gone, and so on and so forth. But quite honestly, if I were in trouble and I were able to call Tilda Swinton and have her show up, I'd probably feel lots better too.
I thought his depression vanished rather quickly. At first, I'm like, oh, come on, that's it. He's just like, okay, I'm not going to kill myself anymore. Of course, because the woman he loves more than anything in existence has come to him, has traveled to Detroit, and my God, that's devotion. And now everything's okay. Now he can deal.
I can't help but wonder if a part of it wasn't the fact that in the final bit of the film, they do actually either drain or turn that young couple that they come across. My guess was they drained them. But they were taking blood from prey for the first time in a really long time.
Yeah, because they didn't have any choice.
It's almost like vampires have to exist on those like muscle-bound protein shakes. They can't have real food. And then when they finally get to have like a steak and fries, it's like, oh my God, I forgot food was amazing. I don't know. I don't know. It was hard to tell. But the other thing I have to note, though, I hate to say this, but we're at 58 minutes. So we got to wrap this up. And to that point, I'd just like to ask.
The finish.
So Max, what did you think of Only Lovers Love Lovers Loving Love?
Lovely. I like it. I think it's really interesting. I love the performances. I love the look of the film. Just the. I love how the camera just lingers on everything in Adam's house. And Adam and Eve. There is a scene where they are lying naked in bed together, and they look like a goddamn work of art.
Oh, it's the John and Yoko thing, right?
Yeah, But all I could think when I first saw it was, I would like to crawl in there with both of them, except for the aesthetic nightmare that would cause.
And who would see?
They would.
Besides, you wouldn't wake up from it, so who cares?
True. That'd be a hell of a way to go.
Yeah. So how do you like it as a vampire movie?
Again, I think it's really interesting because no one ever says vampire. There's never any talk of, the children of the night, and angst, and the curse we carry. And no one counts anything. You know, it's
rock song.
Now I have seven wonderful guitars. I also thought the guitars were so gorgeous. My God.
I'm sure they were. I couldn't tell you a good one from a bad one. So
beautiful. But I like it. I recognize it has flaws. It is kind of slow. And to me, the ending is just sort of, wait, what? Because the movie does not end, the movie stops.
Okay.
Literally in mid-motion, it's like, and we're about to done. I don't like that. Mm. It doesn't have to tie up neatly, but I need a coherent end. I don't just want to think, they snipped off the last 300 frames.
Flip.
Yeah, pretty much. So I like it. I recommend it, but I also recognize it's flawed. What about you? What did you think? This was your first time with
it. Yeah, you know, the audience in this case was just really, it was hard to get, it was you.
It was me.
Yes. Well, now, I think it was very.
If you didn't want me to throw milk duds at your head, you should have watched it on your own.
I don't like milk duds. If you had thrown a candy I liked, I wouldn't have cared. But I think pretty much the same thing. I just didn't like it as much as you did. If you're going to play with a very well-worn topic and you want to put a new spin on it, you need to let us know what that spin means, because otherwise all we've got to go on is our experience, knowledge, overabundant repetition of that subject to go on. And when what we're seeing doesn't fit those expectations, it would be nice to know why. So the things where he's like, well, I'm not going to talk about vampires. I really wish he would talk a little bit more. Not a lot. I don't need Ava to come in and go, So what you guys didn't know about us, because I've been doing some research, blah, 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 blah. Hate exposition.
Ah, welcome, exposition.
Yeah, just a little bit more. I think the performances are good. I think the people are very pretty, because if you're going to be a vampire, except for John Hurt, you want to be pretty. I wish we just got a little bit more. We end up seeing a glimpse of the pattern of their lives. My guess is this has gone on before. This has happened before.
Very likely, yeah.
And the pacing to me was more than a little languid. It felt a little long and a little too slow in places. That being said, it's nice to have something different, right? Because a lot of vampire films are either utterly the same or they're Twilight, and I don't want to see any more Twilight. I haven't heard lately about, they were remaking those, and I haven't heard anything lately. I'm hoping they gave up. But, and if you're a fan of Twilight, good for you, but I'm sorry, no. Especially just her.
You need help.
Her whole approach. Stephanie Meyer is like, I'm going to write a vampire book, but I'm not reading anything about vampires. Well, then you're not writing vampires. Yeah. I'm sorry, what is the downside of being a vampire in your universe again? You sparkle.
Sparkly.
Sorry, don't see it, but whatever.
Permanent body glitter. Yep.
But that wasn't that film, that was this film. And you know, sure, take a watch. Just make sure that you are not going to be distracted, because I have this feeling it would be very easy to be distracted. So, interesting first film in this. Yeah. But what else is interesting is our poll question. Max, would you repeat that and let people know how they can answer the poll question?
Yes. Yes, of course. But I will use my vampire powers of telepathy to broadcast it.
No.
There.
Constipated again, huh?
I have to excuse myself. Oh, jeez.
I've been excusing you all.
Oh, jeez. Well, we want to know now, who is the coolest vampire? Is it Dracula? And if so, which one? Lestat, Celine from Underworld, Vampire Bill from True Blood, and how to tell us? Well, you can tie it to your nearest messenger
email,
bat and send it along.
You
can give it to one of the children of the night, and they will transcribe it to music.
MaxMikeMovies.com.
They will do it! Spoil spork, yes. Us at MaxMikeMovies.com, or you can go to our website, MaxMikeMovies.com, and leave a comment. You can find us on social media at places like Forcebox.
Facebook, Blue Sky, and Mastodon.
Blue Sky, and yes, them, under MaxMikeMovies. And of course, like my little dark flower
and Rodney
Doris and our new mite Rodney, you could call our spooky vampiric hotline, which drains your blood as you speak, at 617-398-7266. That's 617-398-7266, or if you prefer, 617-398-7266.
I don't.
Yes, I prefer that.
I'm sure you do.
But we are just starting off this vampire series.
I'm a lonely man.
So I'm a desperately lonely, lonely man. What's going to be our next one there, Mike?
Well, these are offbeat vampire films, right? They may or may not involve the big D. Mostly, probably not. But I wanted to get something or choose something that would be not diametrically opposed, but pretty much a 180 from this week's film. And I could think of no better example than Blackula, because it is also a film I have never seen. It stars.
We are going to get canceled so hard.
It stars William Marshall, who you may or may not know from the episode "The Ultimate Computer" of the original Star Trek.
Yes,
he is great.
I am great.
And he plays Blackula.
M5.
Now, to be fair, there are two of these. Please make sure you're watching the correct one. If you're watching ahead of time, that's Blackula, not the sequel, Scream Blackula Scream. Now, just so you know, if you are in any way, I don't know, sensitive about such things, this is considered a quote-unquote blaxploitation film.
No!
Yes, which, quite honestly, makes it sound like a lot of fun to me.
Yeah, you shocked me, sir. Yeah, this is definitely going to be different. Yeah.
So while you're waiting for next week and that Halloween spooky festival of wonder is happening, why not throw on Blackula? And then tune in to us next Monday when we talk about
skincare products.
No!
Oh, damn it!
This has been a co-production of The Voice of Max and The Movie Wrench.